Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's get us a songbook out. Let's stand together. Grab one of those blue songbooks. Let's stand together. Turn to 341. 341, Victory in Jesus. Let's sing it out. 341. I heard how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his calling, of his precious blood unfolding. Then I repented of my sin and longed for victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He set me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he brought the air I knew. And all my love is to God. He brought me to victory. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. And he brought me to walk again, and for the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come into my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and taught me. When his redeeming blood, praise God, he opened the air, my David, and all my love is needed. He bloodstained to victory, he needs the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. Like I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll see the song of victory. Oh, victory! My Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love is forever. He bought me to victory. He needs the cleansing blood.
Amen. Thank God for victory in Jesus. And it's sure good to see everybody this morning. Amen. Good crowd in here today, and I'm glad to see it. Amen. This is a wonderful, blessed Sunday. We're very fortunate, very, very blessed and thankful. I shouldn't say fortunate. We're blessed to have Brother Krupa Emmanuel and his wife Mary here from Mumbai, India. I've known Krupa for, how long did we say, 13 years? 13 years. We were both younger men when we saw each other last. I told him I didn't think I'd see his face again until I got to heaven, but here he is. Amen. And he came a very long way. He and his wife did. And they have not only come a long way, but they've been a lot of places since they got to America. They've been to Florida and Oklahoma and here. And they're going back to Dallas tomorrow. Pray for them on their journey because, again, I can't imagine if we were all in India trying to get around and find our way back home. So it's the same for him. So just pray for him and pray that God will open every door and make a way for everything and just pour out his blessings on him. They do a great work. I'm not going to tell you all things that he does because he's going to tell you If he told some of it earlier, some of you heard, but they do a tremendous work. They do a tremendous work reaching people that need help, and they're doing the Lord's work. And we're honoring today as well the memory of Brother James and Sister Laura Shyrock, and their children. Dee Dee and Brent are here this morning. We're glad to have them with us. Dee Dee's husband Roger and I pastored them for many years over in Paris, and I pastored James and Laura as well. And I know that you don't know them, but that's okay. I can tell you a little about them. They came to me in 2003, and they were the biggest help I could have ever imagined in that church. And they did a tremendous work there with us, and I couldn't brag any harder on two Christian people than Brother James and Sister Laura. And not only did they help us, but they helped Krupa immensely, and they were very mission minded and workers when it came to missions. And we went and we visited their gravesite yesterday, and I was looking down and I noticed it's 2014 when we buried your mom, and it just seems like it was just the other day to me. I know it seems like a lot longer to you probably, but my goodness, she was one of my very best friends in the world. I told Krupa, she used to call me on Monday and say, "I'm sorry for what I said yesterday." And I said, "Well, what did you say? I don't remember." she was always giving me a fit, and I was giving her one back. We were buddies, and Brother James, he was like a dad to me, and he was that way to a lot of people, but tremendous. And again, I say 2014, and here we are in 2023, and we're still talking about the things that they did for the Lord. Now, that impresses me when I think that, again, they've been in glory for a while now, but their works are still following them. And listen, their works are still working. The things that they did while they were here in this brief little time in these mortal vessels, they left a footprint spiritually that people are still walking in. So don't think that what you do here doesn't matter. Don't think that what you do, you couldn't impact anything, that you're too small, that you're too insignificant. Let me tell you something. You can leave an imprint if you want to serve God. Amen? Because they live in proof of that. Well, they've gone on to glory, but they were living proof. And now even beyond that, they're still proof of it. And we just want to give God glory. We're not trying to magnify them, but we want to magnify the Savior that they magnify. Amen? So we're going to take up an offering this morning, and as you give this morning, you give, realizing we're going to bless these missionaries. And so you dig down and give as you're able to give, and let's go the Lord. Have we got any prayer requests other than we're talking about this morning? Miss Charlotte? Okay. All right. Others? Yes. You're going to Sturgis? Oh, big time. Big time. I say, what are you going to Sturgis for, bro? But all right, yeah, let's pray for Big Donnie. Anybody else? Anything else? Any other prayer requests? Yes. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, report on Dan. How's Dan today? Oh, there he is. I didn't see him, brother. Good to see you, brother. Well, I'm glad you're here, brother. Amen. I didn't see you come in. I apologize. I was busy. Well, praise God. Everybody, anybody else, anything before we go to the Lord? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Robert, lead us in prayer. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. All right, let's turn to 109. 109, send the light, send the light.
There's a call comes ringing on the restless wind, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, send the light. The gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And the golden offering at the cross we bring. Send the light, send the light.
Revive us again.
Amen. I tell you what, I need revival. I don't know about you, but I crave that. I want God to stir me up again. We were talking yesterday about back when we were full of fire, you know. And as you get older, that fire kind of, it turns down to a simmer sometimes. But, you know, we need to tell God, God, turn the fire up under me. I need to get fired up again. Amen. You know, life is hills and valleys. So we need to get up on the hill. Amen. That's what we want to get. Amen. We ought to sing Higher Ground, but we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Turn to number three. Number three, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found. What Christ does now I see. What grace that moves my heart and fear. That grace moves me freely. How precious is that grace to me. In the hour of healing,
a message that he wants to speak to your heart this morning. So I want you to listen close, pay attention, and give him a hearing. I know his accent, you may have to listen a little harder this morning because of his accent, but you can understand everything he says. The only thing I know is V's. You say V's like W's sometimes, but that's just something you need to know. That's just his accent. So, but again, this is a man of God, and he's doing a greater work than most of us ever even thought about doing. And he doesn't have the time or I'm sure he has the words, but he doesn't have the time to tell you all that he does. But I can tell you it's the work that nobody else wants to do, and he's doing it for the Lord. So I want you to give him an ear this morning and pray for him as he comes. Come on, let's tell us what God's laid on your heart.
Once again, I thank God for giving me this great privilege that God has given me. And I just want to thank our pastor and for all of you. And I really feel with joy to see Brother James and Laura family. And really, they give me more joy because today what we are doing ministry, what activities we are doing, all that really because of their family prayer and their support and their involvement. Not only they are praying, not only they are supporting, but Sister Laura, their family is sending Laura always to India, travel all the 30 hours, taking a lot of pain, and coming to our Mumbai slum areas and the dirty places and visiting the families and praying for them and training more many leaders and pastors, investing their money, efforts, and their physical health also, you know. And really, that's the labor they have done in Christ. He never gone in vain. Today you could see through my life, through our family, hundreds of family, pastors and leaders today, they are receiving a lot of blessing of the souls for His kingdom. Praise the Lord. And I really thank our pastor. When I came in 2007, and he always said, Rupa, we are going to hold the rope, you go dig the gold. Really, we are thousands of lives. We are digging the gold. Not really gold like gold, but the gold is like precious children. You know, God created us, even if they are very precious gems, silver and gold. And people are dying like a miserable life. You know, we have to bring them, put the net and bring them to His kingdom. You know, that's the really give joy and really thank God for the pastor. And when I came in 2007, pastor was, I was so much encouraged by his ministry, his life. You know, he's so energetic and so enthusiastic and with spirit-filled and really so encouraging the church. And really I was learned from what a ministry I'm doing today, receiving many girls and helping many bonded labor to rescue this, and helping many alcohol and drug addict people, helping them to come out of that. I learned from pastor. Pastor, after the church, they used to do RU teaching program in the television. I know that really encouraged me, and I connected with them. I learned many things using that teachings in our India, in Mumbai. Really, God is blessing. Today, we are able to rescue many people who are in the drugs, many people who are in the sex trade. We are, those people are bonded laborers. We are able to help these people and rehabilitate them. We are able to train them so that they can win other people to Christ. And really thank God for that. Really, I'm asked, really, that really helped me. And I just want to, yesterday, today, I just shared the testimony and the little word of God. I just want to all of you to open book of Ephesians, book of Ephesians. I hope you understand my broken language and break your heart. Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, the Paul wrote the Ephesians. Yeah. I just want to take the word, chapter 2. Chapter 2. And I want to read from verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 also. I want to read for you. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the wings of the power of the hair of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When Paul, when he was writing this letter, he was in the prison. And he, when he's doing the ministry, he was in the longest time in ever stayed than Ephesians. In Ephesians, Paul spent 3 years. And 3 years, he used to work as a tent maker. He used to work even as a man of God. And he has a great responsibility, a great commission, but he never lay on others. When there is no other support, he started working as a tent maker. And not only is making tent, but he never forget his mission. And in the evening, he used to invite many people to have a Bible study, to train them. And he used to train many leaders. He used to work there, in the evening he used to train. And when he wrote this letter, it's not belong only to Ephesus Church. It was belong surrounding the churches over there. And when he was writing, we see 152 verses are there in this. And there is a 6 chapters. And 3 chapters, Paul emphasizing what Christ has done for our life. And other 3 chapters, he says, what you have to do for Christ. That is very important. Many people, they always think about, you know, Christ has done so much things they tell, but they never tell what they are doing for Christ. Here Paul says, we are dead in the transgressions in our sins. And he raised us. He lifted us from the dead. And he made us sit. And now he's saying, now you have to walk. Where we have to walk? We have to walk in unity. As a believer, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you have to join with other believers. Like Lona's sister, she came to our slums. She witnessed many people in the slums, the dirty places. And they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. After they baptize, they leave their own community friends and young people. They start having friendship with church, the church youth. And when I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 14 years old, like Laura only, there was some other ma'am came from Casper, Wyoming. And she shared the good news. After I accepted Christ, I left my Hindu friends. I left my Muslim friends. And I started friendship with Christian believers, friends, going to the church. So we have to join in the unity because Christ has raised us from the deadly sin. We are died in the sin. We are died in our transgression. We made alive. We given life again. When God created man, he built with the word and his spirit poured on them. And like that, again we have died because of our sin spiritually. Then God has lifted us and he put his spirit and he made alive by his spirit. And now we are alive. Now he made us sit. And now we have to watch our duties. We have to not only sit down and listening, clapping, singing, and going. But here we have to not only, now Paul says in chapter 4, we see that. He's saying that now we are being, have to be, walk. We have to walk in unity. We have to walk with other believers. That's why we have church. If you are a believer, you can sit at home and see some television, preaching, and oh, that's it, my done. No, we have to be united with the other believers. That's why we come together as a church. Building is not a church where people come together in my name. I am a mix of them, Jesus said. We don't have church building like you have. We meet under the tree and we worship. We meet in the brick factory. We worship. We in the red light district, we have a serving center. We worship there. We have the church, the presence of God there. Because he said, wait here to our gathering, my name, I meet from there. That's where God asking us to walk in unity. And we have to, second thing we see in the fifth chapter, he says, sorry, we have to walk in, yeah, humility. You said to have humbleness. Humility means we have to love each other. We have to care for each other. We have to think better than us, others. In the world, they think always, I am better than everyone. Believe in the best. Better than the best. Better than the best. People, you know, advertise better than the best. But Jesus says, you have to think others better than you. Don't go with your interest. Go with other interest. That kind of humility we should follow in our life. Walk in unity, humility. And as a third thing he talks about in the fifth chapter, we see that we have to walk in harmony. Harmony. Harmony with our wife. Harmony with our children. Harmony with our other believers. We have to be always have peace. Always we have fellowship. Always we loving and caring and taking. Now, we have to keep always harmony. Always we, in India, we have, people say, oh, we have a lot of conflicts. Even pastors also, they don't have harmony with their own wife. Always conflict. They don't have harmony with their own children. That's why Paul in 6th chapter says, you know, see, 6th chapter first, for us, he talks about children, you know. Love your wife, you know. Love your children. Don't make them angry. No, we should harmony with other believers. We should always. So these are things. When you are harmony, you have others, then only you can know the importance of their life. Today, we are saved. We are dead in our sins and transgressions. Jesus made alive. Jesus made us to sit. Now we have to walk in unity and humility and with harmony. And now our responsibility to fight. In second chapter I read that we are like a, in which you are formerly walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of this spirit, you know, the air. There is a devil everywhere we see, the spirit, evil spirits out there. The place I stay, near to Mumbai, that is called Raigad district. There's one big belt, like some people may say there's a Bible belt. Sounds like Kansas and all. Yeah, like that we have also a belt. We call it Konkan belt. That Konkan belt, we have like 7 districts in the Konkan belt. Most of these Konkan belts, they're all animism. Animism means the spirit worshippers. They do a lot of black magic, sorcery, and they worship a lot of spirits. They're possessed by spirits because the black magic people, unless they're possessed by evil spirit, they cannot perform their black magic. Because they, as a human being, you cannot perform any black magic on any one person. You want to kill them or you want to harm them or you want to torture them. Only you, when you purchase, they do that. So that's why they invite the spirit. So such kind of place we work. We face encounter not by the people, but the spirit comes like and stand in front of us like a devil. They are posed. They give bad words. But still, God is given a great burden, great commission, great commitment he wants us from. That's Matthew chapter 28. Go all the world and preach my gospel in my name. Baptize them and teach them and make them my disciples. This great responsibility God has given. He saved us from our sins. And now he's saying, you have to be a redeemer. You have to be sure. The salvation is not to for ourselves. He's given the salvation to give others. We have to share the good news. We have to win the people. Like a morning also shared, when D.L. Moody, some people ask, how these thousands, hundreds of people accept when you share with them? They said, oh, we see some beautiful plants out there. We see people who are nice color, nice dresses. And they ask, what D.L. Moody, they ask the friends, what do you see from the window? I said, the people who are lost. So that kind of eye. If you really saved, that's why Matthew, John chapter 1, verse 9 says, the true light, lighten others. If you're truly saved and receive the true Jesus Christ in your life, you never be quiet. You will pass on the light, as Pastor is saying now, the hymn. We have to send the light. Send the light. There is a darkness. Jesus said, no one put the light on under the, they always put on the side. You are the light to the world. Today, the world is in the darkness. You are and I are like a light. We have to shine our light. Unless we shine our light, the darkness never leaves. When there is a darkness, there are Batman comes. Batman, like, you know, to fuck the blood. People are in the dark. People don't know where they're going, what they're doing. Today we hear a lot of news and all the things. Why are they doing that? We don't know. But we know because they're in the dark. In the darkness, people don't know what they're doing, where they're going. They don't know. When there is a light, we know we should go here. We should not go there. We should not touch this. We should not take this. We know because light. So we have the light. We have to shine in the dark. It's our responsibility. I really thank God. Standing like Laura and like that many missionary to our nation, India. They don't do much there, much, but the effort they take, the money they spend, they put their life in risk and come and labor and walking in the street where it was smelly and dirty and we're sweating and 120 temperature. And they cry and pray and they pour their tears on our soil. And that really brings the result. That's the big result. Jesus pour his blood on this earth. Put all his blood for us. The seed of the blood, the ransom of the many. The seed of the blood. Stephen died, martyred for Christ. And there was God raised on a grave, Saul as a power. And he touched thousands of people. In India, many, 11th rank, India is 11th rank. We are having a lot of persecution. Many pastors put under the jail. I want to tell one law that has been gone. If in the church, if the pastor is preaching, if somebody cry and he go and complain to the police, oh, that pastor was preaching something, I felt like crying. That would be breaking a law and he will be sued. You know? This is happening. A lot of things. Like a book of Joel. Prophet Joel said, there will be famine of word of God. Today many Bibles are burned. Taking out of the house. Not allowing the Bible. And they know that the Bible is like a nuclear bomb. They are afraid of that. But today we have in our hands, in our home, in a desktop, in the car, we put, but we never open the Bible. So that's the way people are like going in the rain. They have a umbrella in there. What do you say? Oh, you fool? Why are you getting wet? You have the umbrella open it and it's full. Like that we have a Bible in our hand. But we never, we always get wet. We go in under a problem. Spiritual darkness. Bonded in a spiritual life. Really, today we see many people suffering in India. Not only bonded by the pornography, movies, other things, but today people are spiritually blind in the church. They are away from the truth. Even they have known as a Christian, but they know Christless life. They are in the ocean of Christianity, but they never be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. As I told, in our church, 85 years old lady, in our church for maybe many, I don't know how many years. She is a Christian for many years, but never received Jesus Christ. When I asked one day, if you do die tonight, you will go to heaven? I said, Pastor, I will go. I said, if the angel asks you, why should I allow you in heaven? What do you say? Oh, I born in a Christian family. I go to big church. Pastor is very theological pastor. Very brilliant knowledge. No. Are you cleansed by Jesus' blood? Are you repented of your sin? To Jesus Christ only, to his cleansing only, you will go to heaven. Not by bearing Christian name. Not only you are born in a Christian family, or you are a pastor's son, a pastor's daughter, or any believer family, or missionary family. But unless you repent of your sin, unless you receive Jesus Christ in your life, if you die tonight, I assure that you will go to eternal heaven. Really, such a great God has given. Like in Noah days, God has prepared a big boat for them to get saved. But people rejected. Oh, you fool! Where is the land? Where is the water? Where is the ocean? You go to run this boat. People mocked him. But still, he believed he fought. And he continued to share what? And he shared. What? He shared with people. But none. Today, like a Noah boat, God has given Jesus Christ. He is a Savior. There are many thousands, millions of people still do not know there is a boat of Jesus to get saved from eternal hell. Unless we tell, how can they know? How can they believe? Unless we go there, who will tell? Unless we say to someone, how can they know? This is our response. If really the true light, it will let in. If you really receive the true light of Jesus Christ in your life, you always lighten others. That's what I say. And really today, God wants to bless you and me. And today God has blessed me. And today we are working. I really thank God. Sister Laura, and even she was tired of 30 hours traveling. We always say, take rest. Take today rest. She said, no, Krupa, we don't rest. Come on, we have to go now. Come on. She used to take my mom, my mom's best friend, Laura. Even more than me, she loved my mom so much. Yeah. Yeah, every time she comes to our house and whatever spicy food we make, she don't like much, but still she wants to please us. And she used to have a group. My mother's name is Suvartamma. Suvartamma, I need to learn. And she says, come on, Krupa, we have to go to take a seat. We go to that slum, that slum. She never used to rest. Even she used to have some physical maybe headache or because in the plane you have to sit like hours, like 10 hours, 9 hours. You know, because that's the hunger. She has that burden, burning inside. And as Pastor said, we are also burned, our lives are burning today. But the flame will be less because there is an ash inside. Ash to cover. When you remove the ash and add the wood, the fire will be more in your life. And you can find, you cannot keep fire. We are fire now, right? If you don't remove the ash, the fire will. The burning of the examine our heart. God will fire in us, but that fire is burning like it should be, or there is ash. Understood what I'm saying? Ash. When we burn the food, after it's burned up, and there will be dirt, so we have to remove it, rinse it, and again add. If that kind of burning is there only, you can work for it. Close our eyes. Or if we have anything, we have to take more. So, okay? We have enough time or we have less? Yes, we just, I just want to pray and close and examine as God speaking to our heart. And we close our eyes and examine our heart, Lord. The fire we've given in our life, it's burning like it should be. I'm able to lighten my life so that I can shine in the darkness. Lord, if there is any ash in my life, take out, Lord Jesus. Unless we are completely cleansed by His blood, our Lord, we cannot have a burning flame in our heart. Anything may be, it may be occupied our heart. We want to confess and repent today, Lord. And come with humble heart like for Jesus. Care was God tried in His life. He come to repentance. The words of God not came on Ezekiel. The words of God not came in Jerusalem. The words of God is not coming in Julia. God saved and God mercy. Today God want to heal our nation. Like 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and seek and pray and confess their sin, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their, I will heal their life. Today God is asking, Lord, there is a great need in the world. There are millions of people going to die and going to eternal hell. And your all responsibility is to shine, send a light in the darkness. His light needs to be shined everywhere in the corners of the world. We have to go to all the tribal, all the ethnic, all different languages, every nation. We have to go. You will go or you stand. Or you pray for the people who are working there. And this great responsibility we are able to do. We are totally cleansed by His blood. Through His holiness. Through His spirit. We can do that responsibility. Unless you are connected with, unless you follow Him. Unless you have a living relationship with Christ, with His word and prayer and fellowship with other believers, you can never touch other lives. I read, like Laura, like Pastor, God wants everyone to use us, to someone in our life, to our life, to generate the kingdom of God. May God bless us. In Jesus' name. I just have a small testimony to share. Please, after COVID, we have not able to continue with our children home. We have several children in the Red Light District. Children, they suffer so much. They are addicted to alcohol and drugs. Because you know that when, you know, these children, they don't have any other one to take care. When they came to our children's home, we give them food and shelter and education and also lead them as a disciple of Jesus. Really be having a lot of challenges today to do that. Not only from financial problems, not only that, but we also having problem from the government. They don't want any Christian children home to run, because they know that, like in the Christian home, they grow as a Christian. They grow with the Word of God. They receive Jesus Christ. So this many children home have checked out. And really, we need your prayer, and we need your involvement, and we need many leaders to be trained. There are many villages, many areas there need to be people known to Jesus. We have a beautiful building. I have only brought one voucher. I hope you can just pass it on. I can see the building we have. Even the Sister Laura and Pastor, their church also supported many years, 11, 12 years, continually every month. Laura and our pastor, their church, their family, continually every month, they used to support us. That is, that family only, we had continual regular support for our ministry. Other ways to support, but not very regularly. Prayer and support, and not only supporting, not only praying, but coming and blessing. That's the great. We ask you, as a Macedonia call, please come and help. Not help of money or anything. That is okay if you want to do or not. But main one thing is we want to train leaders. Like Laura, her life she gave. And she used to train hundreds of pastors. We want you to come. We want to train pastors and leaders. Not only pray for the harvest is plentiful, the labors are few. Not only praying, but we have to come and train the laborers to harvest. Thank you, Pastor.
If we were to open the firebox of your heart this morning, what does it look like in there? If we were to stir around in there in the ashes, would we find anything burning? Or is it cold in there? You know, it doesn't take long. You can build a roaring fire and sit by a roaring fire at night, but give it just a little time where it's neglected. Open that door and it's cold inside. There's a lot of believers out there whose hearts once burned for Christ. They were red hot for Christ. But because the world has come in and got in the way, and the cares of this world, that heart's been neglected in the fire. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God, just like opening that firebox. And I know some of you may have never sat in front of a wood-burning stove, but if you have, you know what I'm describing, or a fireplace. You stir the embers, the fire begins to burn. You add more burden to burn. You see, the wood's put in there, it's burden. It has to be burned. And when we ask God to stir us up again, God gives us a burden for others, and then there's fuel to burn, and that's what we need. And I want to get you to stand with me this morning. Let's stand together. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, and you say, "Well, preacher, I can't go to India." Well, no, you can't, but you can travel there on your knees. There's an old song, and I can't remember the words to it, but I do remember, or maybe it's a poem. And it's titled, "I Traveled on My Knees." And it's about, I can't go there, but I'll go there in prayer. I'll send my God. I'll travel on my knees. And I wonder how many in this room this morning would just make a commitment to God. I'm going to travel on my knees to those slums in Mumbai, India. I'm going to labor in prayer, Rupa and Mary, as they go and try to make a difference. Lives of little children who don't have a chance. So there are ladies there whose lives are in slavery, and they can't break free from it. But you know what? You can be enslaved in bondage physically and be free on the inside. Christ set you free. You're free indeed. Maybe we can't go in and do great humanitarian efforts, but I'm going to tell you, this church can impact the work that's going on over there. And in whatever way God lays on your heart to do it, I hope you'll let God speak to you. about participating in the work that this man and his wife are doing. And I want to ask you, we're going to have an invitation, and when we have an invitation, these altars are open. You want to come and pray? God's stirring your heart. He's laying something on your heart. Come and do a work. Come and join in the work with God. And say, Lord, I don't know how I can be of help, but Lord, I want to be of help. Whatever God lays on your heart to do this morning, maybe you've been distant from God, and God's drawing you back into his favor. He's drawing you back into his work and into the loving relationship that's there waiting on you. Whatever the need this morning, whatever God's saying to you, whatever the burden he's laying on you, don't pass it off. Do business with God this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to sing a song of invitation in just a moment. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the time of remembrance, Lord, of sweet memories, Father. We've heard the challenge, Lord, before us, the call that's there. And, Lord God, we know that if we can be of help, we ought to be of help. Lord, we ought to serve and help in your kingdom. And, Father, I know that, Lord, the Spirit of God is speaking in the hearts this morning. And, Father, I pray that we respond, Lord, that we not put up a wall between us and you, but, Lord, we've come running. And we've come to you and say, Lord, whatever it is you need me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Lord, I ask you to bless this invitation. Now, Spirit of God, you do what I can't do. Do what Krupa can't do. You reach into the hearts of men and women, and you speak to their hearts. And, Lord, you bring about the city. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing 167, Just As I Am. You know it. You don't have to look it up. Just
Thank you.
We have to sing our Hindi, Marathi song, Hindi song. Okay, Marathi song. We are Marathi language is our national language. Hindi is our national language. Marathi is our state language. But we have like 19 major languages in
to sing the Marathi song.
A bari, Kala piyala eshu ne dile, Kala piyala eshu ne dile, Rala kaga eshu ne dile, Abari man to eshla, Abari man to eshla.
खुशी खुशी मनो बोलो बोलो मसीहा की जय 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 Bolo, bolo, Messiah, ki jai, jai, jai. It's a rejoice, rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came for me, he suffered, he lived for me, he suffered for me, and he died for me, he was buried for me, and he rose again on the third day. And he's for me and he's for you. And come on, rejoice. That's the song meaning. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Back yonder and get us some.